Good evening. I guess once again here I am up doing a sermon this evening. God is always good. So when I got the word yesterday morning, it's a blessing because I was supposed to go to New Jersey with my wife, but in the last minute I was gonna let her and Stuart go by themselves and they have some quality family time. So I declined to go because she asked me a couple of times. I said no. So I guess God had a plan. And I guess the plan was I was going to be preaching this evening. But before we get started, one of my favorite songs, I'm just going to read you a couple of these verses of this song. In the book, it's number 2. And I think in my heart, as a young man growing up in the church, I'm not as young as I used to be, but when I was a kid, this used to be called the church anthem, the Church of Christ anthem. And it reads, "Come we that love the Lord and let our hearts be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne and thus surround the throne." Verse 4 always got me a little trembling inside my heart. And it says, Let our songs abound and let every tear be dry. And I can imagine, as Christians, we're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. I was in the Navy, and so we did a lot of marching. And us military people did a lot of marching. But it always pricked my heart when I heard that we're marching through Emmanuel's ground. To fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. And in a sense, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Now, if that don't touch your heart, you don't have a heart, especially if you remember the Church of Christ, because that song used to bring goosebumps to me, and it still does. Every time I hear it, it pricks my heart and say, that's where I'm trying to get to. That's where I'm trying to march to so I can step on Emmanuel's ground. And that was just a side note for my lesson. I'd like to thank Mike for letting me, for informing me that I had to preach this evening, and Brother Brown for giving me this opportunity and the leadership here. Now I will get right into my lesson. It's not my intent to hold you long, and I'm going to tell you this from the start. I usually have a story, but I don't have one tonight. So don't hold. Next time I come, I'll promise I will have a story. But I was, as preparing, I already had something, and then something pricked in my mind and said, no, don't go there. Let's go somewhere else. And so the Lord led me to Acts 2, 1 through 18. But before I read that, if you want a topic, the topic is God loves us just like he loves Peter and the apostles. I'm going to say it again. God loves us just like he loves Peter and the apostles. Do you know that God loves us like he loves the apostles? Even Peter, we know Peter, very outspoken Peter, just like a lot of us, got in trouble with our mouths and our deeds. Jesus walked and picked 12 men. He called them, taught them, walked with them, and they saw him do all the miracles that he did while he was here on earth. But sometimes we forget that these men were like us in the flesh. We hold them above all because they actually walk with God, with Jesus, and he called them, but they actually put on the flesh just like we do. And sometimes we have to remember that they sinned just like we do. They fell short just like we do. And if you look at Judas, he killed himself because he gave up Jesus to be killed. He thought it was going to be something different, but in reality, the scripture said it would be better if he wasn't born. But we got to remember, God loves us just like he loves the apostles. If you read in Mark 14, 29 and 31, you hear Peter here. I'm going to focus in on Peter because we know when we read this that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Now, think about that. For 3 years, he walked with Jesus. Jesus handpicked him, taught him everything that he could about him, showed him all the miracles and signs and stuff, gave him the power to heal and to call out demons out of people. and they still, I still at this point don't believe they knew who Jesus was. They thought they did, but they didn't actually know. That's why Peter said when in verse in Mark 14:29-30, Peter said to him, Even if all made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you today, even tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you shall deny me three times. But he spoke vehemently, If I have to die with you, I will die. I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. This is all the apostles saying they would not deny him. But we know what happened. Because in verse 1472, in Mark 1472, it said, Immediately the cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows twice, you shall disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. Here's Peter, outspoken Peter, always getting himself in trouble, saying, I will die with you. And here he is denying Jesus three times, and the cock crowed that second time. And you imagine all that emotion flowing back on Peter, and said, I told Jesus to his face I would not deny him. And here I am denying him. Even got to the point where he was cussing people out, saying, I don't know that man. But he did. I think sometimes we have to realize that as Peter and the apostles did, we do today. Sometimes we deny Jesus. How do we deny Jesus today? Through sins that we do. It's a form of denial. We realize that God is all powerful, but sometimes we let the devil trick us into some things. But I'm here to tell you tonight, as a person who, like I told y'all before, in October, I will be in the church for 50 years. I got baptized when I was getting ready to turn six, right after I turned six. After being in the Church of Christ for almost 50 years, we put a lot of stuff on Satan's back. A lot of times, and I can only go for myself, I went into sin with both my eyes wide open, knowing that I was going to do wrong. I knew I was going to do wrong, and I had purpose in my heart that I was going to do wrong. I'm not going to sit here and lie, because we always say the devil make me do stuff. The devil don't make us do stuff. We got all-powerful God standing right behind us. He sent us the Holy Spirit, and to guide us in all truth. When we do wrong, now I would say probably 90% of the time, we do it because we want to. We blame it on the devil, but we do what we want to do, and then we'll, I know I should have done that. And then we'll, like Peter, we go get ourselves in trouble. And who do we fall back on? We fall back on God, and we pray, and we ask God to forgive us. But we got to remember, God loves us as much as he loves Peter and the apostles. And after that, after Peter broke down and started crying, he remembered what he had done. When we sin, we break down and start crying, and we remember what we've done. But see, the difference between us and Peter, where did Peter and the apostles go after Jesus died? Where were they found next in the Bible? They were found fishing. They went back to what they were doing. Forgetting all that Jesus had taught them, they went back. And Jesus had to come get them and say, Hey, I'm over here. I'm risen now. Y'all need to come and do what I asked y'all to do. Go out and teach the world. So after he went back and got them, he brought them in and taught them again and told them to go out. But sometimes we have to remember that God loves us like he loves the apostle. Even though they denied Jesus and he had to die on the cross alone. Just think if Jesus, we don't know if Jesus heard what Peter said, but we know that Jesus is all knowing. Just think if that was your best friend or your wife or your brother or your sister, and you know they can back you up and say, no, he didn't do that. And you say, man, I need a witness. I need somebody to come forth and tell them that I didn't do it. And here you are counting on this person to come and save you. And they say, I don't know that person. And then they get to cuss and say, I don't know. I told you I don't know that so-and-so person. And then they turn around and walk off while you're still there looking at them. Just imagine Jesus if that happened. We don't know because the Bible don't say if Jesus was in there when that happened. But we knew he was being crucified. He was being roughed up by the guards at that time. But Jesus knew what Peter was going to do even before the foundations of the world. If we remember Ephesians, before the foundation of the world was laid, Jesus already knew what was going to happen. But he chose Peter anyway. He chose Judas, even though he knew Judas was going to betray him. But God let all this stuff happen. That's why God loves us as much as he does. Because he let all this stuff happen knowing that his son was going to die for us and that he would be there alone. Only people who defended him was the one man on the cross who was a thief and said he was the only man out of, and he didn't even know Jesus. But he, God put it on his heart to let him realize that he was the Son of God. And that's why Jesus told him that today you will be with me in paradise. His own boys, and we say that today, but his own apostles were gone. He was by himself. But it took a thief on a cross to give Jesus some aid so he wouldn't die alone. Just think about that. Somebody he didn't even know who was a thief. And should be going to hell because he was getting ready to die. But God, Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. So that this lesson here is to let us realize that as Christians, God still loves us no matter what we do. He's going to love us because he gave his son for us. He said, I sent my son into the world to save the world, not to destroy it. He could destroy it at any time. But see, he had so much love for us that he sent his son to save us. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. Like I said, I'm trying to focus it on Peter, but the rest of the apostles were just as guilty. They didn't do anything to help Jesus. As a matter of fact, they went out of their way not to do anything. And so we only know Peter's account, but what was the other 10? Because we know Judas was dead. Where are the other 10 apostles? Nobody, the Bible doesn't say anything where they were at. So if we keep reading, now I'm going to change focus here for a minute, and then I'm going to change gears and I'm going to close out. Now that we establish the fact that God loves us just like he loves Peter and the apostles, let's see how much love God for somebody who denied his son 3 times and let his son die alone. Let's go over to Acts 12. Acts 12 is a real good chapter, and it talks about the great escape of Peter. Now, God gave Peter a couple of good things to do. He told Peter got himself in trouble as we turn in the Mount of Transfiguration. He wanted to build tabernacles to everybody who was there, and God had to shut his mouth up and told him, hey, you listen to my son. Don't listen to your own self, which gets us in a whole lot of trouble. God also told him that you were going to be the first preacher and preach a sermon in Church of Christ in Acts 2. So Peter stood up with the 12, and he was the first chief postman. Even though he made all these stumblings, God still let him, or Christ let him still preach that first sermon at the start or beginning of the Church of Christ. So God loved Peter so much, even though he knew he was his failings, just like he know our failings. He know what we do. We sometimes come to church and we walk through here like we supermen or superwomen, that we got our act together. But see, God knows in the back of your mind, in the back of that corner, at dark, at midnight, what you're doing. Everybody else might not see it, but God knows. We can't hide from God. And God knew Peter's failings. But see how good God was to him. Acts 12, verse 1. It was about the time when King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church. And that church is the Church of Christ. Y'all know that, right? Intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that it met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handed him over to the guards by 4 squadrons of 4 soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. Some Bible says Easter, but after Passover. Verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for God to help him. See what happens when the church start praying? We have a lot of our members come up here and ask for prayers for family members and for them, for themselves and for everything, and for what's going on in their lives. Sometimes we, and this is a side note, sometimes in the Church of Christ, I think sometimes we don't feel like we have the right to get up and ask the church to forgive. Oh, that's just a little something. Oh, it's just a little bit of this. I don't need. You don't have to stand up here and ask people to pray for you. You can go to certain people and say, hey, I'm having problems in my life. Can you pray for me? Go to that person who you know is a prayer warrior and ask them to pray for you. Because the prayers of the church, the prayers of the church we see help Peter in this instance, but the prayers of the church will also help us. If you're going through anything that's going on in your life, ask the church to pray for you. Verse 6, that night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guarding at the entrance. Now here you got Peter stretched out, two chains, bound, he can't go nowhere, sitting between two soldiers. Peter was sleeping, knocked out. Why was Peter sleeping? If I was chained up in some dungeon, would I be sleeping? Would we be sleeping? We'd be so worried, scared. But who did Peter know who was on his side? The church was praying for him, and Peter knew what his calling was. Verse 7. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and light shined in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off his wrist. Now, if that was me, somebody hit me, I'd jump up and be trying to swing on somebody because I know I'm in jail because you don't know what's going on. But Peter had the mindset to stand up and the chains fell off of him. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so, looking around. You chained between two soldiers, and they got swords, and they know if you start acting up, they're going to kill you. Because back in those days, if you escaped, what happened to those jailers? They got put to death because they were supposed to keep a watch on you. But the angel told him, put on your clothes and sandals, and Peter did. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. The angels told him, verse 9, Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing. It was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gates leading to the city. It opened up for them by itself, and they went through it. When they walked to the length of the street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent an angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. Now here you see Peter, after he had did all this stuff, denied Jesus three times, opened his mouth about the tabernacle, all the other stuff that he did, and then Jesus went in and sent an angel. God sent an angel in to save him. What's the difference between Peter and us? Peter is our brother in Christ. He was called by Christ, but we also were called. We are called. Jesus didn't call me by name, but a brother came to me and taught me. My mother and Brother Hervey in the Roswell Church of Christ came and taught my family the Church of Christ. So we were called, and we responded and were baptized. So we are called out people. So there's no difference between us and Peter. Paul is another story that we can go down the road to. There is no difference between us. Only difference is that God gave them powers to heal, and we don't have those powers today. He gave them power to cast out demons, and we don't have that power today. But we do have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, that we might live that good Christian life. We also have God on our side. So if God is on our side, who can stop us? He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. God said these words through his holy Bible. I will never leave you or forsake you like you did my son. Think about that. We left his son. Peter left his son. The apostles left his son. But God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Only thing you got to do is show me that you love me. And how do we show God that we love him? By keeping his commandments. Now, in closing, I hope you get the gist of what I'm saying tonight. I don't want y'all to go by and say, Brother Hughes threw this lesson together. He don't even have a point. My point is, there's no difference between the love of God has on his apostles and Peter that he have for us. We sometimes, like I said, we sometimes think that the apostles were a whole lot better than we were. They were flesh just like us. They had problems. Paul talks about things that he didn't want to do, but he ended up doing. How many of us do that? We find ourselves walking down that road we never intend to go down, and then we come to ourselves, and then we turn around, pick ourselves up, ask Lord to forgive us, and we walk the other direction. That's what God is asking us to do. There's nothing that will send us to hell. There's a couple of sins that will automatically send us to hell. Don't get me wrong. There are some things that will automatically, but God says, if you forgive, if you ask for forgiveness and stop doing those things, you won't go to hell. If you do what I tell you to do, I will save you. So, like I said, in closing, we all have denied Jesus in our lives. We sin over and over again, which is a form of denial. Jesus is always waiting for us to come back. God sent angels to save Peter. Does he send angels to save us? When we get out there and we in the wrong sometime, only an angel can save us. We think we dead about, oh man, I escaped this all by myself. No. God sent an angel down there to help you out. Because a lot of us today would not be here right now. The accidental drowning that you didn't drown, that bullet that went by your head and missed you, the drive-by that went the other way. You know, you walk in the store, 5 minutes later you walk out, somebody goes in there and robs the store. Don't take that stuff for granted. It happens every day. People are in the wrong place at the wrong time. Christians are in the wrong place at the wrong time. But God put his hedge around his people. But even if he don't put his hedge and something happened to you, there's a great place waiting for you if you stay with God. And that's the thing that we have to remember, too. Bad things are going to happen to us. Look at the apostles. All of them died a terrible death, except for John, who died of old age. But even in his old age, he still was abused all the time he was alive. Jesus, our greatest example, hung on the cross for us. So if it happened to him, it's going to happen to us. We might live to be 80, 90 years old, and we might die quietly in our sleep, but that's not a guarantee. You might get in your car on your way home tonight. That's it. It's all she wrote. And then you got to, if you're a Christian and got your life together, you ain't got to worry about nothing. But if you're on the borderline, that's when the problems come. God is, like I said, Jesus is waiting for us. All he wants us to do, ask for forgiveness and come back to him. He'll do the rest. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to sing the song of invitation. And like I said before, I don't have a story tonight. But the next time, I promise, I will have one. But I just wanted to get the point that God's love is all that we need. We follow his commandments that he laid out for us. Keep them. The love of God will always comfort us in those times that we think that we're doing wrong. God already knows. He gave us this flesh. He knows that we're not going to be perfect. Any perfect Christians in here, raise your hand. Any perfect Christians? I just want to know, because I'm going to leave the Church of Christ right now. If everybody in here talking about they perfect, I'm going to walk out the door right now, because in my Bible it says all have sinned and come short. Now, I might live after I've asked God to forgive for forgiveness of my sin. I'm going to live perfectly in his love. But as long as I'm carrying his flesh, I'm going to have some problems. Now, when we get to that point where we don't have no problems in our life, there's something definitely wrong because somebody else have you. It's not God who have you. If you live in a perfect life and you don't have no problems, you're not living a Christian life, because God already told us you're going to have some problems. That's why I'm here, to help and protect you. Now, if you're a member of the Church of Christ, if you have sinned and come short of your way and your calling, this time here in a few minutes when we stand up and sing, you can come down and ask the church to forgive you for your sins. And we will go to prayer for you. Hopefully you already got it right with God. If it's an open sin, yes, you need to come down and ask the church to go to God and pray for you. If it's a closed sin, hopefully you took care of that by yourself and don't come to that point again. If you need prayer, or if you're asking for friends or family members to become a member, or you have some sickness in your family, this is the time where you can come out, fill out a card, and ask the Lord for his blessings. But also, if you're a visitor here, and I look around, I don't think we have any visitors, but I'm going to go through these five steps anyway, because you never know. There are five. The Church of Christ is the only church that you can read about in this Bible. Acts 2 tells us that the church got its start in Jerusalem. Peter was the first person who stood up out of the 12 and preached a sermon. And then when God added those 3,000 people, when they were baptized, they were added to this church, the church that we belong to right now, the Church of Christ. Isn't that astonishing that over 2,000 years ago, the Church of Christ got its start? None of the church can say that. But in that, there's one way and five steps. Those five steps are, you heard the word tonight. All the word is the gospel of Jesus, how he loved us so much. God sent him down here to die for us and to save us. That's the gospel in a nutshell. He died on the cross, but he did come back. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He came back, and he came back to get us. That's the only way that we can go to heaven, is that he came back. And he said, if you obey and do what I say, you can come with me one day. And those five steps are, you got to hear the word, then you got to believe what you heard. And you believe with this heart, not this heart. Don't get this one. This is just a pump. This is what you think with. You have to really believe that. Then you have to repent. Turn away from those things that you're doing and turn to God. Confess that Jesus, the fourth step is confess that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Now, that might have brought death to the people in the early centuries, but it doesn't bring death today to us today. It brings life. It brought life to them when they were when they died, they went to heaven or went to the Hadean world, paradise. When we die today, if we're a member of the church, we would go to that same place they went to, the Hadean world, which is paradise and torment. Judgment Day comes around, you go before God, he says, come on to me on the right hand. If you live right, if you live wrong, he said, go away from me on the left. But that last step is you have to be baptized. We have, like we did this morning, those two young ladies came down, went back there and got baptized. Strong young girls got baptized, and some of us old people are too scared to come up and do it. But Jesus says, suffer not the little children to come up to me, because they understand. Some of us hard-headed people don't understand and don't ever want to do it. So if you fall yourself in any of these categories, please stand and we'll sing the song of invitation.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the Lord. For sin and harden not your heart. Be saved, O tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will I be saved then? Why not? Oh, why not tonight?